This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The Supreme Court has weighed in, and a modified version of Donald Trump's travel ban is now in place. The ban blocks foreign residents from six majority Muslim countries from entering the U.S. unless they can prove that they have a so-called bona fide relationship in this country. In its watered-down version of the president's original executive order, the question is, what is a bona fide relationship? Meanwhile, Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is peddling support for a revised GOP health care bill. Could a new version of a GOP bill drum up enough votes to repeal Obamacare once and for all? Plus, Donald Trump sends a wave of tweets targeting MSNBC host Mika Brzezinski, and a deluge of outrage pours in from both sides of the political aisle. Here to break down the week in Washington is political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Breakdown is the exact word I would use. I want to break down. I just can't deal.
Well, you can. Now, stay with us now, Ken, because we had a health care bill. Obviously, the Republicans had crafted, Senate Republicans leadership had crafted a bill, mostly behind closed doors. They did some vote counting and failed to get the requisite number, and they pulled it. So that's gone, right? Mitch McConnell's failed to get the bill that he wanted.
It's not even close. I mean, they have 52 votes in the Senate. They need 50 to pass it. They have at least 7 or 8, and they're not all liberals or conservatives. There are moderates and who oppose it for some reason. There are conservatives who feel it's just too much Obamacare light. So they're not on the same page at all. And we always talk about Mitch McConnell's great arm-twisting tactics. He's Lyndon Johnson in 2017, and he's canny, and he understands how things are going. But he's proving no more successful than John Boehner or Paul Ryan or other Republican leaders who are trying to get their act together and get their party together.
Well, again, he is noted for that kind of political back-office, behind-the-scenes genius. What was the calculus here, Ken? Because, again, we did it all. They did it all before they did any real analysis. But the analysis was inevitable. They had to know that millions of Americans would lose health care and that wouldn't be popular. What was the calculus, do you think, that was behind McConnell's plan to bring this thing out in the first place? Did he really think it had a chance?
Well, he must have. I mean, I can't imagine him offering a bill that he knew would fail. But then again, you know, Paul Ryan did that, I guess, back in the spring, and then he had to withdraw it, and then it passed. And then, of course, Trump said it was a great bill, and now Trump is calling the House bill mean. But it's just very interesting. You point out that the CBO numbers, that it says that 22 million fewer people will have health insurance by the year 2026. Another thing came out that showed that Medicaid spending, 35% less Medicaid spending after two decades. And that not only, you know, upsets Democrats, it upsets Republicans, too. You talk to Republican governors like John Kasich of Ohio and Brian Sandoval of Nevada and others and saying, look, this is really good for our state. This Medicaid funding is really helping the elderly, the poor, the sick. And so it's successful. And to cut all that stuff out and then to push a bill through that basically, they say it reduces premiums, but it also reduces subsidies. Nobody pays full price for Obamacare. They get government subsidies. So when they're also talking about cutting government subsidies, so many more Americans will have either no insurance or be able to afford more insurance and have to only afford less insurance. And I don't know why they would think that Republicans, I mean, look, not that many Republicans are up for re-election in 2018. I think the only one who's really in danger is Dean Heller of Nevada. But Dean Heller is saying, I can't support this bill. I mean, there are a lot of poor people in Nevada that Medicaid expansion is helping. And it was even more interesting that, you know, you think the Republicans would try to keep their act together and keep their troops together, but a pro-Trump Political Action Committee ran a commercial against Heller saying, you vote against this, we're going to defeat you in the primary. And Heller was bloody mad. He went to the White House saying, this is insane. We're part of the same party. So they pulled the ad, but But obviously, but at the same time, they're pulling the bill because they just cannot get everybody on the same page.
Catastrophic failure for McConnell on this one. But as you say, it is across the board there in terms of the Republican senators who announced with each day growing lack of support, growing disapproval of that bill for various reasons. And so it's hard to know where McConnell goes from here. Some say it's you know, Obamacare light. Others say it's too draconian. What do you do then? And again, not doing anything to drum up bipartisan support. Democrats are folding their arms, waiting to see what the Republicans do and whether they can crash again. Where do you go from here if you're McConnell?
Well, one, I'm not blaming the Democrats for anything. First of all, Trump has spent much of the campaign and much of the whole thing mocking Democrats on tweets. He had a tweet the other day on Chuck Schumer that he's a loser and he's a liar and he's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And McConnell has said from the beginning, and it's interesting because the Republicans were criticizing the Democrats for passing Obamacare in 2009 and 2010 with only Democratic votes. And McConnell was saying, look, you know, we have 52 votes in the Senate. We're going to pass it on our own. But he's not reached out to anybody to do these things. And as you say, there are different reasons. Rob Portman of Ohio and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, both states have tremendous opioid crises, and they want more money for that, whereas you have the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruzes and the Mike Lees of the world who said, look, this is too generous. There are too many subsidies. You know, back with Obamacare, Harry Reid famously gave little goodies to, like, Ben Nelson, the Nebraska kickback, they called it, or money to Mary Landrieu in Louisiana for they called it the Louisiana Purchase. But there are so many Republicans, at least eight, who are saying this is wrong for so many reasons. I mean, how many things can McConnell do? If you give stuff to the moderates, the conservatives will balk. And if you give stuff to the conservatives, forget about the Democrats, the moderates will balk too. So there's going to be no bill before the July 4th week, the 10-day break. And somehow they're going to look, they've been promising for 7 years that they're going to get rid of Obamacare. That's what they ran on. That's what, it's great to say no when you're in the opposition, like McConnell was when you had Obama in the White House. It's another one to pass something, and right now, that brilliant, canny legislator, Mitch McConnell, doesn't show that he has the stuff to do it, at least not yet.
Well, it's easy to say no before the bill goes into effect, because then you can scare people with all the horrible things that are going to happen. Those things didn't happen, at least not on the scale that they predicted. And furthermore, a lot of people have been helped since then. And so the bill that they campaigned against 7 years ago is not the law that we see today. Too many people are helped, and that's part of their problem, isn't it?
Well, that's very true. First of all, it is true that premiums have gone up. It is true that deductibles have gone up, but it's also true that millions of people, in many states, Kentucky especially, speaking of McConnell, but many states, the number of people who were insured went up, and that is a tremendous thing as well. So it's interesting that all these years Republicans would talk about how unpopular Obamacare is, but now, given the numbers that the Republican plan is getting, I think the NPR poll had it 17% approval. USA Today had 12% approval. Now Kaiser poll is showing that Obamacare, for the first time ever, gets a majority of approval in the country, 51%, because I guess as bad as people were saying about Obamacare, it's a gift compared to what the Republicans are offering.
So does McConnell try to log roll behind the scenes and offer more perks and things that have nothing to do with the bill, but I'll build a bridge in your state, I'll build a we'll do a construction project, build a road project in your state, or do they play this on the merits and try to change the bill to meet everybody's liking, and do they bring Democrats in on this?
I think the latter is what the answer is. I think it was funny that McConnell says, well, if we can't pass it, we're going to have to bring Chuck Schumer into the negotiations. How do you like that?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a threat.
That's right.
But ultimately, I think that's the only thing that makes sense. There are a lot of Republicans, from liberals like Susan Collins to conservatives like Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, who said the mistake we made is that we made the mistake that the Democrats made. There was a Democratic-only bill. We're making this a Republican-only bill. We need to reach out to Democrats. And look, remember the debate between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders? And Bernie Sanders said, we need to make changes in Obamacare. And Hillary Clinton was saying, you know, Bernie Sanders is going to destroy Obamacare because we work so hard to get it where he is. Democrats have been saying for the longest time that there are tweaks that need to be made. So I think the Democratic argument is that, look, you get rid of this monstrosity that you have is going before right now. Let's start fresh. You're not going to get anything you want, everything you want, but we're not going to get everything we want, but let's get something that the American people want. I think that's the only way it works, but, you know, this Congress is not known for bipartisanship.
I want to ask you one more question about this. We'll take a break and then come back. But the question is, what we're seeing now floated is the possibility of not imposing the tax cut, so that right now the idea of the investment tax, right? Well, what we would do is we're going to eliminate that tax, right, in the current Senate bill. All right, let's put that tax back. We're not going to drop the tax. Who does that attract? I get that some Democrats might like that, but don't you lose Republicans? I don't even understand why that's on the table. Can you explain that one to me?
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. First of all, it undercuts what Trump is saying. Right. And second of all, the people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, the reason they're pushing for the repeal of Obamacare is it gets rid of all these taxes.
Exactly.
And it's going to save all this money. So I don't see how that works.
All right, stick around, Ken. I want to talk some more. There are other things to talk about this week in Washington. As you might guess, political junkie Ken Rudin will stay with me on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio, talking with political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, before the break, talking about the president's inability to win friends even among Republicans and Mitch McConnell's failure to get the GOP, the first Senate version of that Obama repeal through. Now let's talk about the tweet. And it struck me just a second ago. I was thinking I'm going to call it the tweet. But you don't call it the tweet because it's one of so many tweets that Donald Trump turns out. But this one that was aimed at MSNBC host Mika Brzezinski really caused a storm. Tell us about that.
This is so disheartening because here you have the president of the United States about to embark on a mission to Europe, meeting with G20 leaders, and he's sitting here, the president of the United States, and the Morning Joe show, I'm not a fan of Morning Joe. I think it's silly, and I know a lot of people like it, and they used to love Donald Trump, then now they no longer like Donald Trump, and they like to mock Donald Trump. I mean, they call him a liar, and he's, you know, lying, and he's destroying America, blah, blah, blah. But he's the president of the United States, seemingly bigger than Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. But yesterday, so he tweets, he says, you know, I never watch this failing show anymore, but he tweets and he talks about the low IQ crazy Mika. He also talks about psycho Joe. And then he said that he mentioned something about Mika. He said she was bleeding badly from a facelift when he saw her. Now, I don't know what it is about Trump and women and blood. I mean, as we saw with Megyn Kelly, the thing about that, you know, she had blood pouring out of her ears, blood pouring out of her whatever. It is so obscene. It is so wrong. And it's so, one would think, beneath the president of the United States. And yet he does that. And Ken, I will just say
it is not one. It is many, 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 and it's many, many Republicans who said exactly what you said, that it has degraded the office.
What's even more infuriating, I watched Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the deputy press secretary, during his briefing yesterday, and she says, well, you know, he's the kind of guy who fights fire with fire. And Melania Trump, remember, you know Melania Trump? She's the one who's against the anti-cyberbullying campaign.
right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
She said no, she supports her husband all the way. And it's just, you know, there was a reporter who just stood up to her the other day, Sanders, Huckabee Sanders, and said, this is just evil. You're destroying any relationship between the government and the press and calling us the enemy of the end. Look, the press has made so many mistakes. Every time when CNN would do something wrong, as it did recently with a wrong report, right, it gives the Trumpistas more arguments against the fake media, the dishonest media. But to spend his time, and I could we could go on and on about everything he says about women, which is, I mean, just yep. The other day, the Irish Reporter, the comment he made about the Irish Reporter, the comments about Inside Hollywood, It's so. I don't know if I'm pained or sad or depressed. I think it's all that.
Well, your pain is shared, and it's shared all across the country and on both sides of the aisle. And again, just even politically, get beyond the morality of it and what it does to the presidency of the United States and the republic itself. All of those questions are good questions. But again, if you're trying to win support among Republicans to alienate so many people and not understand that that's how a bill becomes law, I mean, even at the most cynical, tactical level, you can't sort of understand what's going on here. And I've got to change gears here for a second, okay. And I want to move on because this is the president. He still is the president of the United States, who will meet with the president of Russia, with whom he has a questionable relationship now under investigation. There's possible treason involved here. These are the stakes of this investigation. He's meeting with Vladimir Putin, and apparently there's no agenda.
Well, not only is there no agenda, when the administration, I guess H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor, was asked whether Trump would bring up Putin's alleged involvement in the 2016 race, he says, well, we don't know yet. There's no agenda. We don't know if they're going to talk about that. I mean, if Obama was, I don't think Obama was bugging Trump as Trump claimed, but this is the time to bug this conversation because, I mean, I have no idea what they're going to say. It's just, it seems pretty clear, or at least the investigation is going on, and I think Richard Burr is doing a great job and a fair job, Burr and Mark Warner in the Senate Intelligence Committee, trying to find out what's going on. And in addition to the independent special counsel talking about it. But the fact is that he's going to meet with Putin, who is clearly trying to undermine the U.S. Election system, who may have done what he could to elect Donald Trump. And the fact that there's no confirmation that the two of them will have this conversation, you know, I was going to say mind-boggling, but maybe it's not mind-boggling. Maybe it's just, here we go again. Maybe it's just...
We're going to have to recalibrate our minds because our boggle threshold is far too low. We're going to have to just up it a little bit. Ken, we are out of time. There's plenty more to talk about.
I'm sorry, Frank. I should be more...
Our boggle threshold is too low. Ken, you adjust your boggle threshold, and I will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie.